Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
Thank you, Pastor Scott and worship team. And I want to invite you to grab your Bibles this morning and join me in the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, we will pick up in our series this morning called Live in the Light. If you have missed a few weeks of this series, you can certainly go online and find that, or go on iTunes and find that if you need something to help you go to sleep at night. You can listen to me preach, and as long as you don't sleep on Sunday morning, if you need that to help you sleep at night, that's perfectly acceptable. We're going to walk our way this morning through verses 18 through 27 of 1 John chapter 2. Verses 18 through 27, I want to read the text for us this morning, and then we will walk back through it together. John writes, "Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him." Father, this morning we ask that you would open our eyes to see, that you would open our ears to hear, that you would open our hearts to respond to your word. And we pray that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I entitled this message, "Be on Guard." Be on guard. And in the light of the fact that it's Mother's Day, I want to share a story with you about my childhood growing up in a situation where I should have been on guard. You ever found yourself in a situation that you weren't expecting? No? Okay, I'm just checking. I told you earlier, the kids talk, the adults just kind of sit there, right? It's okay, you can talk back when a question is asked of you. So here's the situation. My mom, who I love dearly, talked to on the phone this morning. If I could describe my mom in one phrase of my childhood growing up, it would be this. My mom was like a Kmart radio. She did not play. You with me? Bad jokes this morning, right? Now, here's the thing. My mom, when I was growing up, I mean, she took nothing off of me. I mean, she was hard-nosed on school. She was hard-nosed on just about everything. And when I was about 12 or 13, I remember it as vividly as if it happened last night. You know, in the teenage and preteen years, I know none of you did this, or any of you teenagers that are in here are doing this, but I had a bit of a smart mouth back-talking my mom. Anybody ever do that? Yes, okay. I'm among friends here this morning, all right? If you're a teenager, listen very closely. This will be good for you. So I was talking with my mom. I was back talking. I was arguing with her about something. And now my mom's about 5 foot, but she don't play, right? So I back talked. My mom reaches up and she grabbed me by the collar of my shirt. And she pulled me within about 2 inches of her face. And she's looking up just like this at me. And she said, "You will never talk to me like that again." Just for kicks. Moms, how many of you have said that? Yes, amen. So she said that to me. Now, as a teenager, I wasn't listening. There's just a scientific fact that in the teenage years, there are brain receptors that don't connect, and you make dumb decisions, okay? So just throw that out there. So I wasn't really paying attention. The only thing that I was thinking of, and I think it was prior to a family engagement, that my shirt was going to be wrinkled. So that's what I was worried about. So as soon as my mom let me go, what's the first thing I did? I reached up to straighten my shirt out. God is my witness. In 0.2 seconds, my mom's hand came across the side of my cheek. And in that moment, I realized something. I didn't know I was supposed to be on guard for that. Now, let me say this. That is not an endorsement, parents of teenagers. But I will say this. It worked. It worked. I didn't backtalk after that. You know, there's moments in our lives when we need to be reminded to be on guard. And John, for us, in 1 John chapter 2, is going to issue a warning for us. He did that last week when he was talking about the fact that we should not love the world or the things of the world. And this week he's going to issue another warning for us to be on guard about those that would try to lead us astray in our Christian life. And he's going to first examine a dilemma that was going on in this group of believers that he's writing this letter to. There was a dilemma, and it's a dilemma that most of us, if you've been around church for very long at all, you have witnessed this. And so I want to read the first few verses here as we look at this dilemma. Verses 18 through 21, this is what John writes. He says, "Children," again, John through this letter has talked to those that he is writing in a sense of love for them and concern for them, almost as a father would be writing to his children. And he says, "Children, it is the last hour," meaning time is short. We are moving very quickly, John says, and certainly even more so for us. We are moving very quickly to the end times, to the time when Jesus Christ is going to return and set up his rule on the earth. We're moving in that direction. And he says to those he's writing this letter to, "It is the last hour. And as you have heard, that Antichrist is coming." Now, if you get really excited about eschatology or the study of last things, I just want to break the news for you. Everyone wants to try to act as if they know everything that's going to happen in the end, and they write books that they want you to buy. But here's the truth. We don't know everything that's going to happen in the end. We don't know how it's going to transpire. We've got some details, and we know that ultimately Jesus wins, but we know prior to that that there's going to be some deception that's going on from someone who is going to try to set themselves up as a great political ruler and authority. And if it's really interesting, throughout church history, people have tried to identify certain people who they say, that's the Antichrist. And yet we know that that day is coming when There's going to be a great deception when someone is going to set themselves up in the place of Jesus and seek to rule and to reign. But in light of that reality, notice what John says. So now, many antichrists have come. We're not talking about here, John is not, this one person that we talk about at the end, but he's looking and saying that there are some who are going to come in your midst, that are going to come in the midst of the church, that are going to be in society, who are going to set themselves up against the Lord, who are going to attempt to deceive followers of Jesus. And he says in verse 19, they, these antichrists, went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. Remember that as John is writing this letter, there's an issue, a situation that's developing with these believers. Some are attempting to say that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. They're trying to deceive these people and say to them, you really don't have to follow the Lord. Your life really doesn't have to look different than the world around you. You can partake of everything that the world has to offer. You can love the world and you can love God and you can do whatever you want to do. Much like the culture in which we live today. And John says about those who evidently were somehow connected within the church, who began to say these things, began to leave the church. And he's warning those of us who are within the body of believers that everyone who is here is not a follower of Jesus. Just let that sit for a bit. Think about that personally in your own life. Just because you grew up in church, or just because you go to church, just because you know all the right answers that are in the Bible, just because you may even claim to be a follower of Jesus, doesn't necessarily mean that you're a follower of Jesus. What determines whether or not you're a follower of Jesus? It's very simple. Your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. And so what John is saying here is that there are some within this group of believers who had left the church, not this particular church, but had left the faith altogether, who at one point were plugged in, at one point were coming, but at this point they have moved on. And he says here, they went out from us, but there's a very big distinction that needs to be made. They were not of us, meaning they were not true believers. Because if they had been of us, John says, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. Now here's the thing that if you've been around church very long, you've experienced. People who at some point in time supposedly made a profession of faith in Jesus for salvation, and yet few years down the road or a number of years down the road, they've walked away from the Lord. And not just in a sense where maybe they're living in sin, they're recognizing their sin and they're turning back to the Lord, but they have flat out completely walked away from the Lord. It's something that maybe you've experienced. I've seen people that have done that in the church growing up who you thought were believers, and yet the truth is they really weren't. That's what John is making the distinction here. That's the dilemma that he's talking about. Now, I want to be very clear on something. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation, you've placed your faith and trust in Him, then you are a believer. You're a follower of Jesus. And John says the evidence of that is that you continue to walk in the truth. But listen, we live in a culture today that makes it very easy for someone to walk down an aisle and to say that they're a follower of Jesus, they've trusted him, and yet we really don't know whether they're true believers or not. In fact, Billy Graham, who was one of the greatest evangelists, made the comment that he figured that there were probably 50% of church members that were really not saved. Don't look at the person beside you. That's not nice. But here's the truth. Here, John says that they went out so that it would become plain that they all are not of us. Verse 20, but you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. Notice the distinction that he made. Those that went out from them, he says, listen, the very fact that they went out and they walked away from the faith shows us something very clear. They were never believers to start with. But you, who've been anointed by the Holy One, you have remained, you have continued on, you have pressed on in the faith. He says, I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. The dilemma John's addressing here is that even within the church, there are some who are really not followers of Jesus at all. They may wear a mask, they may play the game very well, they may know all the right answers, and yet the truth is they don't know Jesus. Biblical knowledge is not the same as a relationship with Jesus. And so if I could urge you of anything this morning would be to ask yourself that very plain question, do I have a relationship with Jesus? If you're here this morning and the truth for you is that you don't, we would love nothing more than to share with you what it means to place your faith and trust in what Jesus did on the cross and through his resurrection and receive what we're going to talk about here in just a minute, the eternal life that he offers to us. But here John is concerned. He's exposed this dilemma of those who have left the church who were really not believers after all. But he says to those who remain, to those who are believers, you know the truth. You know who Jesus is. You know that he's the Son of God. You know that through him, your life can be transformed. He's going to continue on in verse 22. He's going to make a declaration. So he's described the dilemma, but here's the declaration that he makes, verse 22. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Now, I want you to think about that for just a minute. John gives us, in this dilemma, a very clear declaration. You can take this to the bank. If anyone denies that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can know for certain that they're not a follower of Jesus. Now let's back up and ask the question for just a moment. Why is John writing something so strong in these verses? Because he's concerned for those within this church. We said last week that Satan is doing everything he can to steal, to kill, and destroy. He is working overtime in our lives, even as believers, to knock us off course, to divert us, to do any other number of things instead of follow God with our lives. And he's saying here that one of the ways that Satan may do that is sending in to the church people who claim to follow Jesus, when in reality, they're not following Jesus at all. He says here that they're false teachers. They're proclaiming that Jesus is not the Son of God. Let me issue a warning to you. As followers of Jesus, just because someone says that they're a preacher doesn't mean that they're preaching the truth. You can say amen. Just because someone is saying that they're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't mean they're doing it. Even if they're on television, it doesn't mean that they're preaching or teaching the truth. Very plainly, very clearly, John says here, if you want to boil it all down, it matters what we preach and teach about who Jesus is. And he says here that they're denying that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And he says anyone who does that is the Antichrist. No one who denies the Son has the Father, and whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Now, I want to be very clear on something with you as well. Someone can preach and sprinkle Jesus in the mix of what they're preaching and not be preaching the true gospel that we find in the Scriptures. Just because you throw a few Bible verses on your talk doesn't mean you're preaching the truth. Just because you sprinkle a little Jesus on top of the ice cream sermon that you deliver doesn't mean that you're preaching or teaching the truth. You see, here's what you've got to recognize and what you have to be discerning as a follower of Jesus. You need to understand what the Bible teaches about who God is and what He's done. One of the greatest reasons that so much deception is going on, even within the church today, is that many believers don't even know what God's Word says. And so if someone comes along and they can say something that makes you feel good about yourself and sprinkle Jesus on the top of it, they can lead you completely astray from what the truth of God's Word says. So let me say this to you. If at any point ever in the life of North River Church, you walk in on a Sunday morning and someone preaches a message and they say things that are not within God's Word, you have every right and every permission to leave and never come back. I would hope that you would. Here's the thing that I've recognized. There is a way to build a crowd within the church by telling people what they want to hear. But here's what I'm convinced of. God's Word is the only thing that He has promised, if it's preached, will not return void. It will accomplish what He intends for it to accomplish. And so, let me just make you very aware. Every single week, we're going to open God's Word. We're going to seek to understand who God is and what He's done. And we're going to seek to apply that to our lives individually as followers of Jesus. That should be the goal of every single one of us, to know what God's Word says and apply it to our lives. No one who denies the Son has the Father, but whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning, John says, let it abide in you. Well, what had you heard from the beginning? If you back up, you remember what John said in the first part of this letter. And if you back up even further than that, you remember what John said in chapter 1 of his gospel. He backs everything up to the beginning. He says, God was there in the beginning. Jesus, the very Son of God, was part of the creation story. Says that Jesus took on flesh and He came and He dwelled among us. That He took your sin and my sin to the cross. That He paid for our sins and that He rose from the dead on the third day. That's what John is saying. That is the beginning. That is the gospel. He says, abide in that. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He made to us, eternal life. The greatest thing that you could know The greatest thing that you could nail down in your life is the fact that you have believed who Jesus is and what he's done, and that you receive from him the gift of eternal life that he offers. And John here says, if we abide in the truth, we can be certain that we have eternal life. He closes out in verses 26 through 27. John gives his desire for these followers of Jesus. He says, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. John's desire for these believers is that they recognize that people are going to try to deceive them. There were some within even this body who had left who were trying to deceive them and say to them, Jesus is not really who he said he is. He's not really the Son of God. But he says to them, the anointing that you received from him abides in you. So what is John talking about? Very plainly, the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised to send for us as believers abides within us. And here's the promise that we have with the Spirit who lives within us is that he guides us into all truth. So here's what was going on in this church, that some people were saying, we've got a new teaching we want you to hear. You don't have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you also don't have to live a life that looks any different than the world around you. John says, there's a problem there. You don't need any new teaching because the Spirit of God who lives within you teaches you the truth that you find in his word. And so, John says, as a result, abide in him. What we have to understand and recognize in our lives as believers is that the more we know of who God is and the more we know of his word, the tighter we will cling to the truth that God reveals to us in his word. We don't need new teaching. We don't need anything revolutionary. We don't need any cute talks. What we need is God's word, and what we need to do is live our lives underneath God's word, apply his word to our lives so that it transforms the way we live. And that's what John says. For us, as followers of Jesus, we need to be on guard so that when deception comes and people try to lead us astray, we know very plainly and very clearly that's not what God's word teaches. I know what his word says, and I'm going to cling to it in my life. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning and close your eyes. And we're going to have an opportunity for you this morning to respond to the Lord. Maybe here this morning, and for you, this discussion of who Jesus is and what he's done. For you, that is what you needed to hear today. You may be here this morning, and the reality for you is that you are not a follower of Jesus. You've never, by faith, placed your trust in him for salvation. In fact, you may have been around church for a long time. You may have grown up in church. You may have even been baptized. And yet you know in the depths of your heart, the truth is you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus for salvation. And for you this morning, that is the step that you need to take. And if that's you, we would love to share with you
what that looks like.
So at the end of the service, you can grab me or someone else that's by the door, and you can just say, I need a relationship with Jesus. And we'd love to share with you what that looks like. Maybe you're here this morning and you realize that for you, you need to be on guard in your life. You need to be immersed in God's Word so that you're able to spot where there's deception and where there's error, where there's false teaching. And for you, that's the step you need to take, is recommit yourself to knowing who God is through His Word. Father, we ask you this morning that you would, through your Spirit in our lives, show us the step that you want us to take. If there are those here this morning who do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, would you give them the courage to take that step? Father, if there's those that, as they look at their lives, even as believers, they see that they've been deceived. They've strayed from your Word, and Father, they need to step back towards you. They need to make your Word a priority in their lives again so that they know the truth from the errors. Father, we ask that you would give us as followers of you the strength to abide in the truth in our lives. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand, if you will, and we'll sing.